Welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a brief discussion of compelling legal issues and practical insights. Please note that the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be, nor should it be construed as legal advice. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. Please enjoy the program.
Hello, this is Rebecca Marks. I'm with the Cross-Border Practice Group at Ogletree Deacons, and I'm based in Boston.
Hi, this is Jean Kim. I am a colleague of Rebecca Marks, also a member of the Cross-Border Practice Group, but I'm based in Atlanta, the Atlanta office of Ogletree Deacons.
This podcast is part of our Global Solutions series. In the Cross-Border Practice Group, we advise multinational clients about employment law issues affecting their employees around the world. And some clients have been asking us about COVID-related laws and regulations around work holiday parties this year. Our first reaction to that was, don't do it. But after a little bit of reflection, we decided to be somewhat more helpful. We know that employers want to keep up employee morale, especially in this most difficult of years, 2020. And we know that in some cases, employees are actually asking what the company is planning. First of all, some countries have issued rules or guidelines about company holiday parties, and where they haven't, there are rules about gatherings in general.
Well, that being said, please note that we are recording this on Monday, the 23rd of November, and things are always changing, so make sure to verify the latest rules when making your plans.
Good thinking, Jane. The end of the year is still a bit more than a month off, so it may be that things change before then. But what are you seeing in the Asia Pacific region?
So we're not seeing too much guidance specifically on holiday-related gatherings in Asia Pacific, or APAC, like I like to call it, that we've seen. But as you mentioned, there are general gathering restrictions that are still in place in some of the countries in the APAC region that may impact workplace gatherings. For example, Myanmar imposes a nationwide ban on gatherings of 30 or more people still, and there is a very strict curfew between 12 a.m. and 4 a.m. that is largely being enforced to date. Singapore does not have a curfew in place, but limits gatherings to small groups, generally up to 5 people currently. Malaysia prohibits social gatherings that are generally large scale, such as weddings, parties, reunions, and other recreational events. India, as a lot of you guys may know, is still largely in lockdown stages across the board. They are very state specific, but generally most gatherings are not occurring and are not possible under the current guidelines. But that's not the case for all of the countries in the APAC region. There are definitely some APAC countries that where gatherings are not heavily restricted, if at all. Some examples would be Japan. Most gatherings are not restricted or regulated unless very, very large. And when we say large, we're talking 5,000 people or more. China, there are no restrictions on large gatherings. If anything, they are celebrating holidays and they are definitely getting some foreign media scrutiny as to some gatherings that have occurred in the last couple months, but they have not been restricting any of them since the country has largely reopened its borders and its businesses and so forth. New Zealand, there's currently no limit on the number of people who can attend a social gathering event or enter any kind of public facility. South Korea has been doing things a little differently. Distancing in daily life is their approach to handling COVID, and that largely translates to stores and schools and buildings being open, national and local governments may occasionally exercise authority to regulate gatherings in large areas, whether it's indoor or outdoor, but it's specific to responding to outbreaks, not necessarily to prevent them on a national level. Talking about South Korea kind of brings up something that has happened pretty recently. So with Thanksgiving being around the corner in the U.S., it's something that comes to mind is how Korea handled its Thanksgiving a couple weeks ago. So Korea has its Thanksgiving known as Chuseok a little earlier than the U.S. every year. And this year it was October 1st. The government eased some social distancing rules after the infection rates slowed in September leading up to its Thanksgiving, but imposed special measures for the holiday, including banning dining in highway or interstate rest areas because of the large volume of travel that occurs around that period. They required that you install plastic partitions at outdoor tables at rest stops and rest areas. You couldn't provide dining services at nursing homes, which is a large place that people tend to visit over the holidays to see some of their elderly relatives, and requiring temperature checks at all stations that normally did not have such specific restrictions leading up to the Thanksgiving holiday in Korea. Another thing was to kind of prevent or mitigate the number of gatherings and travel in general over its Thanksgiving holiday, the government continued to charge expressway tolls, which typically get suspended during large public holidays like this in the country so that the government does foster and encourage gatherings and family time and so forth. But this year with COVID, that was actually not the case for the first time in a really long time. So we're not, as you can see, seeing a lot of specific holiday-related restrictions on gatherings, but countries that are not restricting headcount when it comes to gathering are implementing some more creative methods to kind of deter the travel and the gathering itself over the holiday period, which largely kind of impacts any kind of employer gathering as well, because a lot of times private companies tend to take their cue, at least in these APAC regions, from how other public measures are being implemented, and areas that are being restricted kind of tends to translate over to the private sector as well if it's not regulated at all. So those are kind of some things we're seeing in APAC. What about you, Rebecca? Have you seen anything different in Europe?
Yeah, it sounds like in APAC, there's a real difference between a lot of the countries, some being no restrictions at all, and some, as you said, like in South Korea, there being restrictions on gatherings and travel. In Europe, mostly everybody's pretty well aligned right now because of the COVID upticks in cases that has recently happened. So there's been a real crackdown in most, if not all, the European countries. So there's a tighter lockdown restrictions. These are for a limited period of time. I think most of the governments were hoping that they would be able to ease off on some of these restrictions by the end of the year. In other words, their holiday end of year period. But we'll just have to see how the numbers react. So I'm not going to go through a lot of countries, but I wanted to mention two in particular. One is France, where there was a second strict lockdown starting on October 30th, and where individuals are really not allowed to leave their homes except for specific reasons such as medical treatment or essential work. Schools and factories are also exempted from this. So if you work in a factory where you have to be present in order for the work to be done, you can do that. And schools are also open. But for the rest of the working population, anybody who can work from home is required to work from home. Employees are not meant to be in the office if they can work remotely. So, of course, that means that holiday parties are definitely not on the agenda. And in fact, one of the new rules is something that they call la suspension des moments de convivialité, which means literally the suspension of moments of conviviality. And that was specifically in the professional context. So in other words, no social gatherings in the work context. Bad enough if people have to work side by side because they can't work remotely, but not to exacerbate the issue by requiring social interactions. So the other one that's similar is Belgium. Belgium has imposed very strict measures Their measures are running from November 2nd to December 13th for the moment. Working from home is now mandatory where possible. Social distancing, 1.5 meters, and mask wearing, except for between people who live under the same roof, is mandatory. And gatherings have to be limited to a maximum of 4 people. But besides ordinary gatherings, they've also issued a regulation about basically addressing holiday parties, because they say team building events requiring physical presence is now prohibited. So the good news on the holiday front in Belgium is that Belgian lawmakers have issued a letter exempting one specific individual from these restrictions, and that is St. Nicholas or Santa Claus. So I actually was not aware of this before, but apparently Santa Claus there, instead of living in the North Pole, lives in Spain. And this year, they have issued this exemption so that Santa Claus can come and give gifts to the children of Belgium and not have to quarantine when he arrives from Spain. So they'd still asked, though, that St. Nicholas wear a mask and use hand sanitizer and social distance.
Absolutely.
Anyway, that's generally where things are in Europe. It's having a social event for your employees that requires physical presence is either specifically prohibited or strongly discouraged. And we'd like to point out that even where you might legally be able to find a workaround to have a holiday party in person, you also don't want any of your employees to feel pressured or resentful if they think it might be putting them at risk. So you just need to keep that in mind. If you're not going to have your regular holiday party, what should you do instead? Well, there's a bunch of options. We talk to clients all the time, and different employers have come up with different ideas. And so we wanted to throw out there some of the ideas that we've been hearing about. One of them is to have like a virtual, almost normal party, but do it, of course, via a video conferencing system. Maybe you could send each employee a gift basket with food and drink that they could open and enjoy while connecting with their colleagues online. Another option is what's called a fully hosted virtual holiday party. There's multiple organizations, providers that have put these together, but they're services that provide full service team building games and activities for a set period of time, like an hour or 90 minutes, something like that, for a set price. And these can include things like a virtual, what they call a virtual escape room, where the participants enter into a different virtual world, and it can include a murder mystery or some other type of adventure where you meet up with your colleagues in different rooms in the application. Another suggestion is a virtual cocktail party where you can send recipes and ingredients or a gift card to a liquor store, for example. But if you do that, make sure that you include recipes for mocktails and also the ingredients for that as well. Another thing maybe is conduct an ugly sweater contest. There's all sorts of contests and games that you can do. Of course, an ugly sweater contest would only be for employees in the Northern Hemisphere. So if you're doing this as a multinational party, you want to make sure that what you do works for all of your employees. So Jean, have any other suggestions?
Yeah, so you touched on a bunch of virtual party ideas. And I've also been hearing some non-party suggestions and ideas coming from clients and just in my environment in itself. So one thing that I thought was a very good idea was a lot of businesses or employers that have holiday gatherings, it largely kind of revolves around food and dinner and drinks and so forth. So if you were planning on gathering pre-COVID at a restaurant or a specific establishment, being able to support that establishment by maybe purchasing gift cards for your employees that would have otherwise attended so that they can order food from there and have a alternative experience of holiday food and dining. And also, again, supporting your small businesses in the area, if that was where you guys were intending on gathering, that kind of is a win-win that I've been hearing about. Some other options is we've had some employers asking if they can provide employees with extra time off at the end of the year. A lot of businesses already tend to close their operations during the Christmas and New Year's and the time in between. So that's definitely been an option for a lot of businesses where it's already in place. But even for employers that have never done that in the past for industry reasons and other business reasons, are asking about it. And I have thought that that was a great idea. Some other options that have been floated are to provide food gift baskets to a charity instead or in the name of your business and your employees so that they can all be involved with their community. And interestingly enough, we're also seeing consistent polls that show employees would really prefer a cash bonus at the end of 2020. Maybe we could combine that with a short feel-good virtual meeting, thanking your employees for toughing out this crazy, impossible year that we've been calling 2020 and providing some good thoughts for the future. So on that note, I'm probably going to stop talking since I had to end it by saying that we should give all employees cash bonuses.
Well, I'm sure if there's any employees listening to this, they'll be grateful. But yeah, on that note, I hope we've given you a few ideas. We do wish you all the very best of holiday seasons and stay safe out there, okay?
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be construed as legal advice.